Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
On today's wrestling news is Ric Flair coming out of retirement.
Hikaru Shida was not told about a certain injury angle.
Is Kota Ibushi leaving New Japan?
And who will join the Bloodline next?
Are you ready? Are you ready for the news time? Yes, my name is Phil Chambers and I'm joined by Gareth Morgan and Salty Sea Dog to talk all things wrestling. But before we get into it, make sure you like the video, comment down below what you think of all today's stories, subscribe to the channel, do that too, and links to each news story is in the description. So click the little timestamps and off you go. But first up, Ric Flair, 73-year-old Ric Flair, is coming out of retirement. Basically, he's recently been posting a couple of videos on Twitter. I don't know if you will have seen them or not, of him training with Jay Lethal. But it turns out this is all for his big comeback match. So this is coming from Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer. He's basically saying that it's going to happen. But the rumor has it that the match itself is going to be Ric Flair and FTR versus the Rock and Roll Express and somebody as a mystery opponent. So that looks like what the match is going to be for Ric Flair coming out of retirement. No sign on where this is going to happen, whether it's like an AEW thing or whether it's like an indie thing, like the thing that FTR did with Bret Hart. But we'll have to wait and see. I assume it's going to be some kind of indie thing rather than an AEW thing. But yeah, Flair's last match was in 2011 versus Sting in Impact. So he's not wrestled in quite a long time. And he hasn't really made any big appearances since the Dark Side of the Ring Plane Ride from Hell episode came out, where he was just accused of sexual assault. So he's been keeping his head down, and this is the first time he's popping it up, really, in a big way. Personally, don't really think I need to see a 73-year-old Ric Flair wrestle. How about you?
Yeah, a lot of things I don't need to see about this entire situation. I don't need to see FDR, one of the most over teams and collections of individuals in wrestling right now, just taint themselves with the stink of Ric Flair as well. That doesn't quite add up to me for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I don't feel like they'd do that right now, but I don't know. I mean, the morbid curiosity factor is always there, but equally, I'm okay. I don't need this in my life right now. I think Ric Flair obviously needs this a lot more than anybody else in the wrestling world. And
yes,
I don't know, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like something that will happen. I think even if it's being pitched at this point, I'd be very surprised. He's been angling for it for quite some time, because if you've seen, I think it was in a Kenny Omega Andrade match a year ago or something, he got quite physical in that match. And
yeah, obviously he's done a few things in AAA as well in Mexico, like manager things for Andrade, like he's, but like nothing sort of match wise but it's I don't need to see this. I really don't need to see this. Sorry, Flair, but yeah, I really don't.
There's a lot more, lot better things I'd like to do my time when it comes to the world of wrestling. And one of them would be seeing Hikaru Shida in the Owen Hart tournament. But sadly, I'm not going to get that either. Because, but according to AEW, on Rampage last night, she has been officially taken out of that tournament due to injury. But a twist. Because, in fact, according to Hikaru Shida on Twitter, she's not injured. This has all got a bit strange very quickly, because she has been substituted out of this tournament for Chris Statlander, who's now going to take on Red Velvet in the quarterfinals of the women's side of the Owen Hart tournament, the Owen Hart Foundation. Like, I don't know what the official title is at this point. It just seems to be that. And that's going to happen, but Shida took to Twitter straight after Tony Schiavone said that she'd been taken out of it because of an injury she sustained in the Serena Deeb street fight match that she had in Dynamite a couple of weeks ago. She just put, what? to do the best Stone Cold impression. She was like, what? That's not right. And then she went even further. She said, well, I already had four matches after the street fight and just finished the greatest fighting musical show. But I seem to have been injured. Japanese wrestling is nothing for them. I'm so sorry. And sorry couldn't be in the tournament too. I'm glad from my heart that Chris is in the tournament now. And I'm going to try to enjoy sudden holidays in Japan because it has been a while before I had. Be positive. So, I'm not sure if this is work or if this is legit. It's one of those right now. The whole Shida AEW relationship appears to have been hitting the rocks for a couple of months because she said she had to go back to Japan because AEW in general just weren't putting the same thought and care into her as a performer as what they had done in the past. Like the original AEW had put the Joshi style of wrestling and the Joshi women at the forefront of the AEW women's division, and that seems to have changed in the last couple of years with the amount of new people that have been added to the roster and the new direction they appear to be going with that, with the likes of like Ruby Soho, Toni Storm, people like that who've come in and definitely taken a bit of the spotlight away from people like Shida and Riho, these incredibly talented people who just haven't had the same attention as they used to. So it could be that, or it could just be a way of drumming up some organic support for Shida. It's compelling, if nothing else, but it seems to be overshadowing the Owen Hart tournament itself at this point.
Yeah, it's a really weird one, this one. It's like, whether it's just like the wires crossed and like for obviously like there's many reasons why they might not be able to get Shida over for the tournament and like, or like make it guaranteed enough to be in a sort of tournament position. But if you're going to run an injury angle from it, like at least tell her.
Yeah.
It seems like if they've just run with this angle without actually telling her, that seems like a really odd thing to do. And just, but it's like the show as well was taped on Wednesday as well, wasn't it? It wasn't a live thing, but yeah. She only did the what tweet after it went live. So like either they had time to tell her about this because that was the plan for a few days, or like this is a work and she's only doing it when the TV thing comes on. I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. It's all very weird. Yeah. But yeah, 100% AEW needs to do more with Hikaru Shida because she's amazing.
And I didn't know this upon like researching to write the write-up that we did for this, but she's still technically the longest reigning AEW champion in the company's history when she had that women's title, which is crazy.
There you go.
Like, they don't put that over enough. That's a hell of a like thing that a notch to have on your belt, but they don't put it over enough.
Exactly. And it's been a crazy drop off since then. And yeah, it's just been weird. It's just been very weird. Put more effort into this, AEW. But yeah, let's move over to New Japan now. And Kota Ibushi leveling massive accusations against New Japan on Twitter and things this week. So he's been on Twitter and I think a couple of days ago he tweeted a bunch of things. They all got translated by someone called @golden_kuma on Twitter. But he was tweeting about Yakuza involvement in New Japan operations and sexual harassment within the company and things like that. He didn't say whether he was like directly involved in any of the incidents that he's threatening to expose or not. But he's like, he did quite a few tweets this week talking about this. So he's talked about New Japan management member called Kikuchi, who the Wrestling Observer is reporting is one of New Japan's bookers, Gedo's, like, assistants. So he's quite high up, like, within the company management system. Like, he was threatening to end Ibushi's contract after he appeared at a Just Tap Out show back in March. And that's when, like, all this kind of started to kick off. He's also writing about how he'll expose all about the former Cheetah's Gun and the sexually harassing bosses, from the company's president's lies to his unreasonable power harassment. Get prepared for this, Tokyo Sports and TV Asahi, who own New Japan. I don't care. And he's followed up with a series of tweets suggesting like he isn't even close to returning from his shoulder injury that he got at the G1 last year, 2021. So yeah, lots of accusations being leveled at New Japan with threats, I guess, of actual evidence that is going to back it up and like threats to expose all of the stories behind this. Now, the Wrestling Observer are also reporting that Gedo, like I say, he's the head booker, he's been trying to kind of smooth things over between New Japan and Kota Ibushi, but that there's a very good chance that he's done. Like, once you start leveling these kind of accusations, there's not much coming back from that. and he's removed all mentions from New Japan from his Twitter bio recently. He's changed the picture on his Twitter to the sign he held up when he originally announced his retirement from DDT and New Japan a while ago. And it just seems like he is completely fed up with the way this company is run. Like he says, leveling really serious accusations against the company itself. And it does seem like Kota Ibushi is very much done with New Japan, which poses the question, I guess, of what comes next. Because, like, once you, like, level this much at New Japan, there's probably not going back there. Will other Japanese promotions want to take him? And then he's already said before that he doesn't particularly want to move to America to do AEW stuff. But, I mean, I'm sure the door would be wide open there whenever he actually wants to. But it's all very interesting stuff. And watch this space for more accusations and things coming out from Kota Ibushi about New Japan.
Yeah, and I know you say that door, that forbidden doorway, will always be open with AEW, but like this current moment, they've got a relationship with New Japan, so whether it's...
Yeah, this is true.
That definitely throws a spanner in the works there. It's really... It's very evident that bridges have been thoroughly burned here. Like, it looks like Ibushi's done. Like you said, he's completely done.
And fair enough, if these accusations are true, fair enough.
Yeah, and he's, like, there's an entire just lifestyle when it comes to being a New Japan pro wrestler, like, where they just want people to work hurt and work through all these terrible injuries, and Ibushi's shoulder's completely massacred, and he's just saying, I don't want to come back and wrestle with a bad shoulder. And obviously, there's all the other allegations and accusations that he's done in there that are really serious as well. But if he's currently on the sidelines and he's not being able to wrestle, do the thing that he does best, and like have that like release, that's going to affect you and probably lead to him feeling quite depressed and he's not being able to train, do all these things. I think Meltzer noted that on the Wrestling Observer that all this is probably coming into play as well, and he's got a lot of time in his hands and he's just frustrated and he's just letting it all out, and it's quite tragic to see it happen, because Ibushi at one point was the focal point of New Japan. He was the world champion. He had the world at his feet, and then just he maybe came back from injury too early, had pneumonia, and like all these things just have come into play now and made it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
So... it looks like he's done, and it's not clear. It's not one of those things where if somebody leaves WWE, just, oh, he's probably going to go straight to AEW or Impact. It's not that simple with Ibushi, because like you say, he's not in a rush to come over to America and work, even though he could possibly work for AEW at some point. But even that's not clear now with all the Forbidden Door stuff. It's a big mess. It's a complicated mess, and it'll be interesting to see where he goes next and what happens next in this developing situation.
The one thing you can say about Ibushi, though, he's always been one to just create his own path. Like, he's not been one to go the normal route of anything. Like, he wrestled for DDT when he could have done New Japan, just because he liked doing the silly stuff and liked having the freedom to go and do independence and do whatever the hell he wanted. He went to the Cruiserweight Classic when he the world was his oyster at New Japan. He's like, nah, I'm just gonna go do this instead. Like, he's always trailed his own path, And hopefully this is just the next part of that, and he's done with the New Japan part of his career, and he moves on to whatever's next, and hopefully it's bigger and better than it was there. So,
and speaking of
wish
things,
him all the best.
Speaking of things that could be happening next, that could be bigger and better. Thank you for that, Phil. I was looking for it. I was angling for it. The Bloodline is one of the biggest factions in wrestling right now, but it looks like it could get bigger and even better in the coming days, months, years, whatever you want to say. But there's no real clear prediction for this. But Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso were on. I nearly said talking smack. It wasn't talking smack. It was after the bell with Corey Graves and Vic Joseph. They were chatting away on that. They were talking about why the name, the Bloodline, was chosen, and like why they did the We The Ones thing, and all these different things about the Bloodline. But the most interesting thing, in my opinion, that they touched upon was what's going to happen next with the faction, who's going to be added to it down the line. They also said, along with the other person who's like the main person we're going to talk about here, they said that in terms of their family as a whole, you've got no idea how many cousins are lined up. They're obviously alluding to the fact that like the brother is there, like Solo Sikoa in NXT, he could come up to the Bloodline at any point. But they were saying in terms of their family as a whole, they've got enough people to carry this business for 50 more years, legit 100 years in this game. They're saying they've got that many cousins and family members that they can draft in later down the line. It's looking like the Usos and the Anoa'i family are going nowhere anytime soon. But one of the major development that I picked up in this interview, and a lot of people picked up, is the fact that Naomi is looking inevitable at this point, that she's going to become a member of the Bloodline at some point in the future. Even Jimmy said this. He said, "It's very likely, man. She talks about it a lot. She talks about it like I'm ready to just snap. She can snap, man. She snapped on my ass plenty of times so she could bring that promo. She's so ready to try something new, you know. She's always been adaptive. She gets it. That's why she's been around. Sometimes I forget she's been here 10 years too. A lot of people forget that. She's been there for a decade, whooping ass, being great. And you just know Naomi is primed and ready to do probably something similar to what we've seen with Rhea Ripley over on Raw right now, joining Judgment Day, just being that added variable in these factions. And I think it'd be great. Imagine that faction war now, Judgment Day and the Bloodline with Naomi there going against Rhea Ripley. That'd be great. I'd like that. That's just a little fan booking there for you, some fantasy booking. But obviously Paul Heyman as well has noted that he'd love Naomi to join the group, and he says that the group could have more people as time goes on. So we will see if Solo Sikoa and any other Uso Anoa'i members are added to this Bloodline as we go.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, that's the one. It's kind of been long rumoured and long talked about, at least, this. But I'm still not sure how I feel about it. Like, I think, like Naomi, like the sort of glow character and thing and the connection she had with the fans from that, like it was sort of natural and it was all organic and it was great, and they really should have done more with that. They should have done a lot more with that, with Naomi and the connection that she has with the fans, like the entrance and everything. It's absolutely fantastic. I love that whole package. But like I say, they've done nothing with it. And like maybe the peak of it has passed now and it's just kind of doing the same stuff that she's done for quite a while now. This glow character's been going on for good few years. So maybe it is just time to switch it up, give her something different, give her something that she can sink her teeth into. Maybe being like attached alongside someone like a Paul Heyman or something can like help her like get up to that next level, because she's always been there, sort of ready to go, but WWE have never kind of pulled the trigger on her properly. So maybe this is the catalyst to do that, and then it's just another title to add into that Bloodline group as well, which would be even better. Like the picture of sort of the four of them with all those belts would be absolutely great.
Yeah. I'll be all for that. Gimme.
Indeed. But moving over to your Twitter questions to end the video. The first one comes from Christian Challen, who says, "Good morning, gents. With Hell in a Cell on the horizon, do you think that we'll get Edge and Priest versus AJ and Balor in the Cell? And if not, who do you think will have a match inside the Cell, seeing as Roman Reigns is set to miss this premium live event?"
I mean, even though Edge is very much at the forefront of Raw, because why wouldn't they at this point, like in this new faction, I hope they get a big old push and a lot of attention. Cody is on the poster. Cody's the guy right now. He's been very much pushed as Mr. Hell in a Cell, Mr. Money in the Bank, Mr. Everything, really. And I think, we're going to get that Cody Seth Rollins match in a Hell in a Cell. It's going to be great. And Cody's going to get a clean sweep, and he's going to get pushed for the title match at Money in the Bank against big old Tribal Chief Roman Reigns.
100%. Yeah, I've been pitching this since the sort of first rumors of Seth versus Cody Mach 2 at WrestleMania Backlash. I think they should take it to Hell in a Cell. Cody loves a good stipulation match as well. He bloody loves them. And I don't think he's never done a Hell in a Cell, so that'd be one to tick off his bucket list, Charlie. And as much as I would enjoy seeing a big blue cell for Edge, I think Cody versus Seth is the way to go with it, and I think they would put on an amazing match, and I think it'd be worthy probably of a main event, especially after like, the 3 month long run with this feud. And then that'd be 3-0 for Cody going into Money in the Bank, and whether he wins the Money in the Bank briefcase and then like announces his shot at SummerSlam or something like that, whether he does it that way, I think that's quite a Cody thing to do, saying I want to put some respect on the title and do it properly. Like his old man would, he'd definitely be able to make a good promo out of that. So I'm going to go Hell in a Cell, 3-0 against Seth Rollins, wins the Money in the Bank briefcase and announces his shot for SummerSlam. That's my guess.
Yep, I'm there for that as well. Why not?
The next question comes from Meg, who says, should they unify the mid-card titles like they are seemingly planning on doing with the tag belts and already have done with the world title? Also, Milo says hi. And there's a picture of Milo, obviously.
I recognise that dog. I recognise it. It's my girlfriend's dog. Shameless. I don't care. She's a wrestling fan now, so this question is very much authentic, and I did not send her a text to send this question in at
not
all.
At all. Just because she not wanted a dog on the news.
We did. He's a cute dog. Why not? I got power. I'm going to use it. I'm going to flex his muscles. But the actual question...
I mean, I get my dog on the news, so it's all the time, so it's fine.
I want a deal, mate. I want a marketing deal. I want it to be an influencer just like Salty is. So, yeah, it's... But the actual question, it's something that I'm curious about, to be honest. I did it through my girlfriend. But the mid-card titles, obviously you've seen the tag team titles that are on the edge of being unified right now. The world title has been unified. Why not unify the mid-card title? Why not? Like, just unify everything and then just have like an intercontinental United States European championship. And I don't know, maybe it'd be harder than across like, I don't know, Monday Night Raw right now where they've not got a world title. That US title's probably the only thing that the singles people can go for, but it'd make it more competitive. It'd make it so that champions being exposed on Raw and SmackDown, I think it'd be interesting.
I disagree, sorry. I don't think they should unify the mid-card titles. I think they should unify the tag team titles 100% because there just isn't enough depth in that division to warrant having two of them. But like unify the main one, unify the tag team, not unify the women's, keep those separate. But like have that main champion drift across brands, have the tag teams drift across brands, but then you can elevate both of the US titles and the Intercontinental titles. You can do it, WWE, it is allowed, to be much worth a lot more by sort of either making them TV titles where they have to be wrestled for on every episode of TV or something, just do something to elevate them. Open challenges, they love a good open challenge, things like that. And then I think you could make them more of a focus point, build more stories around them and make them feel a lot more important than they have been in a long ass time. And yeah, make them sort of the focal point of each brand. And I think that's a better way of doing it, personally.
But for a moment's company, I feel like there would be playing devil's advocate. I could see them just trying to put that on somebody holding the IC and US titles with the head for the first time ever, because Vinnie Matt loves his first time ever, doesn't he?
He does indeed. And the final question of the day comes from Eddie Zamory, who says, with Clash of Cashel poster is out, which is your favorite pay-per-view poster of all time?
I like Jeff Hardy on the water. That's my favourite. In No Way Out, 2008, I believe it is, when you can see him doing all that. I think it looks great. That's one of my
favourites.
Like
favorites. The Nevermind Baby.
Yes.
Mine is... I mainly picked this question so I could talk about this poster because I love it so much. No Way Out. I can't remember which year it was, but it was... What are you doing, dog? It was Daniel Bryan and AJ Lee. And like... Brian is like attached to some train tracks and she's tying him up and there's a train coming behind them. Absolutely love it. It's the best poster ever. It's so great. It's so stupid.
What are the chances that we both choose No Way Out as well? I think that's very strange. We did not compare notes beforehand.
We made a point of that.
So I think that's very cool.
That is the news for today. Thank you very much for joining us. If you want, you can follow us over on Twitter. You can follow me at PhilMyChambers. There he goes. What was I saying? You can follow me at PhilMyChambers, and you can follow me on Instagram at PhilMyChambers, where you can get loads of pictures of Salty Sea Dog. And if you want 30% off your pet products, Salty's sponsored now. I love this so much. You can go to Petrichor Paws and use the code Salty Sea Dog and get 30% off. Good stuff.
I mean, it wouldn't
bigger
have been
influencer
right
than
to
I'm
have...
ever going to be. This dog right here.
It's only apt that like the first attempt at smoothly trying to put over your dog as a new influencer on the Saturday news
ended with a massive rant
derailing. That's it. It's why not? Wouldn't have it any other way.
And you
don't
can follow
me on Twitter. Don't follow me.
Yeah, there you go. And you can follow all of us at What Culture WWE. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Like I say, comment down below what you think of all of today's stories. And let us know what all your favourite WWE pay-per-view posters are. And do other stuff. Watch more videos. That's what we do. And like the video. Is there anything else? No?
No. Just buy all the salty stuff. Do it.
Bloody
buy
good it. Day. Use code SALTYCDOG for 30% off. And free worldwide shipping.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.